So please get into the Bible, take it for what it says, pray before you ever open it up, and ask God, you teach me today what you want me to know, and help me remember. And I promise you, He knows your heart. He knows everything about you. And if you're really, really sincere, God will know it, and He will help you. So for these people, and most of them are in my family, they will tell me, I don't understand the Bible. That's a cop-out. I'm not buying it. And I have to use myself again, since God has taught me from the Word of God. I can honestly tell you and share with you Scripture. And I know that there's a penalty for misleading people, for adding to or taking away. That's why I stay with just the Word of God. I don't go to Charles Stanley's books to see what he has to say about the Bible. I don't go to John Hagee. I don't go to any of these so-called elite preachers. I don't need any other book except my Bible. It tells me every single thing I want to know. And by me being grounded in Scripture, when Hagee or Charles Stanley or Billy Graham or Tex Mars or anybody else, when they say something that isn't scriptural, a flag flies. And it's because I know they're adding to or taking away from the Word of God. And that's a serious thing. We must not do that. And the only way, again, I repeat myself a lot, but the only way, again, is to get in the Bible, to get grounded, to know what it says. You know, it's still the most exciting book, and this is almost, I'm going into my 20th year now as a Christian, and Jim and I have been in the book that long. And it's as exciting today, December the 11th, 2007, as it was back in September of 1986 for me. And it's because I still want to know what God says. I want to know the perfect Word of God. I want to hide it in my heart that I will not sin against God. So there's so much there. And I know that a lot of people have said and say today, I'll take a little of that, maybe some of this, but absolutely none of that. So how can you take the full gospel and pick what makes you happy from it? You can't.
Mary, what do you mean by full gospel?
I'm talking about the full gospel. That's from Genesis chapter 1,
okay,
verse 1, all the way through Revelation chapter 22, the very end of it. That's the full gospel of Christ. That tells you about what you must do to be saved, after you're saved, what you do. It tells you all about Jesus. It tells you when He's coming back. The full gospel is the Bible. It's
right.
Not just a couple of verses that was taught to some human in a seminary. On this one church in Leesburg, Virginia, I'll never forget it. I was standing outside. It was an Assemblies of God, and it had a plaque there that said Full Gospel. We were in that church for 10 months. And we were baby Christians, but we were in the Bible. And we heard so many false teachings come out of that pastor's mouth and out of the Sunday school teacher's mouth and things. We left the church because it wasn't full gospel as it said on the plaque on the outside of that church. That's a lie. So how are you going to know full gospel? Full gospel is every word in the Bible. Now, a lot of the Bible is history and genealogy. That's fascinating, too, the history and the genealogy and all of that. But there's only so many doctrines in the Bible. How are you going to know what the doctrines are if you don't pick it up and read it? How are you going to know about the doctrines when you're sitting in a pew and some preacher starts telling you, Jesus can come back at this very minute? That's an outright lie. That's opposite of what the Bible says. How are you going to know when you're being taught once saved, always saved, when that preacher tells you if you'll walk the aisle, say the sinner's prayer, and get dunked, that you're saved forever? How are you going to know that it's a lie if you're not in the Bible? And we are to go to the people preaching these, and we're to confront them. We're to tell them. This is what's got me in trouble with a lot of pastors, is telling him, you're not preaching what the Bible says. You're preaching opposite. That makes a human being very angry. Pride steps in. They don't want to be told they're preaching a lie, but when you know that they're preaching a lie, you have to tell them. Again, you go to Ezekiel. If you don't tell the righteous person that they're sinning, God says, I will hold their blood on your hands.
Well, Mary, getting back to the sinner's prayer, isn't that how the publican got saved? He said, Lord, have mercy upon me, a sinner. So there's nothing wrong with praying to God to be saved. Your point is not that it's that's not the way to be saved, but that's the, how you get to God.
Yeah.
I mean, you have to continue in the faith. You have to continue in the faith, not just say a prayer and then you're done.
Yeah, what I'm coming against is being told that if you will walk the aisle and say the sinner's prayer and be baptized, then you are saved forever. That's a lie.
That is a lie.
That preacher needs to tell the person. Now, to start with, you can't scare somebody into being saved. I've sat and watched John Hagee tell people, he has huge congregations, that Jesus can come back right now at this very second. And if you're not ready, you're going to hell right now. And people will run down that aisle. You can't scare people into that. I was convicted of my sins while reading my Bible. You can't let a person scare you into being saved.
And you can't base your salvation upon not going through the tribulation. Because how many people get saved because they say, well, I'm not going through the tribulation, rather than realize they're getting saved from their sins?
And how many people are going to fall away
right. When
they're in the middle of the tribulation?
That's right, when they find out they were lied to.
Yeah.
And they'll think, wait a minute, did Jesus lie to me? No, the pastor lied to you.
Yeah,
or the teacher
right.
lied to you.
That's right. And you're not going to know if you've been lied to if you don't pick the Bible up and read it. And, you know, when you stop and think about all eternity, that's time with no end, I cannot imagine people who are in hell at this moment. They're going to be there until the white throne judgment, then they're going to be brought up, they're going to be judged, and then cast into the lake of fire for all eternity. Now, that's what the Bible said. I didn't have nothing to do with that. But I know what my Bible says. I don't want to spend all eternity in the lake of fire. I don't want to spend any time in hell. I don't want to be separated from God. For the people who are in hell today, according to Luke chapter 16, we talk about Lazarus and the rich man. The people who are in hell remember. They will remember everything that has ever happened to them. They'll remember the times that they were told the truth, that they were witnessed to, and all the times that they rejected the truth, that they sat under a lie. They're going to remember this for all eternity. But the Bible says, for the person who is saved and in heaven, that former things are passed away. We won't remember the sadness because the Bible says there will be no tears in heaven. So we're not going to remember our lost family that died and went to hell, our lost friends and neighbors. We're not going to remember any of these things. Now, as we witness to neighbors, to family, and all of this, they have the same choice that I had, which is to accept God's salvation and then to try to live by the Word of God, not by what somebody else says, but by the Word of God. Find out what God's conditions are. He is a conditional God. He says, if you will do this, then I will do that. You know. So, you've
That's
got
right.
to find out about who God is, what He's like, and then ask His will be done in your life. Here we go, Psalms 23, Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We want God's will done in our life, not Mary Hostadt's will, My will got me in trouble. My will got me into a lot of trouble. But today, as a saved Christian woman who is striving every day of her life to walk in the Word of God, not to be just hearers of it, as the Bible says, but to be doers of the Word of God. And some people say, well, that's works. No, it's not. God told us. Don't just be hearers of it, but to be doers of it. So how can you take what God just said and twist it into works, you know?
Being led of the Spirit is not a work of the flesh.
Yeah.
To be a Christian is to be led of the Spirit. It says in, Paul says in Galatians, if we're led of the Spirit, of the Holy Spirit, we're not under the law. So it's not a works-based faith. That's what the twisted teachers teach. They teach that if you say that you have to obey the Bible and walk in the Spirit, then you're working for your salvation. And that is they're panic-stricken. Satanists that have infiltrated the church are panic-stricken that Christians will repent and start living for Jesus Christ, because if they do, their prayers will be answered and they will be able to stand in this evil day and having done all to stand. But right now the church is not standing, and Satan's workers know it. So they keep up this false doctrine.
Let me share this with you. In Romans chapter 3, verse 25, it talks about past sins. In 2 Peter, verse 1, chapter 1, verse 9, it talks about old sins. Nowhere, from cover to cover, and we looked for it, 95 times later, there is no place in there. You know, once saved, always saved will tell you that you're forgiven of past and future sins. You're forgiven of future sins if, there's your conditional word, if you confess and repent of that sin. So those verses are very, very crucial to anyone who is searching for the Word of God. And there's a scripture, it says that the righteous scarcely make it into heaven. What about the wicked?
If the righteous are scarcely saved, whatever will happen to the ungodly and the wicked? I'm paraphrasing, but
yeah.
I mean, wow.
Yeah. So, again, once saved, always saved, you better put a question mark there. You know, if you're taught that lie, you're going to believe it. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. That's why we don't sit under the false teachings in any church anywhere. We just can't do it, because a little leaven leavens the whole lump. If you sit under false teachings long enough, you're going to start to believe it. You will start to put your Bible aside, and you will start believing what you have just been taught. And, you know, God says, my word is forever settled in heaven. That's Psalms 119, verse 89. And since God's word is forever settled in heaven, why wouldn't we want to know what it is? You're assuming that you're being taught truth. I wouldn't assume anything. I want to know the truth. That's why you have to get into the Word of God. If you're so trusting as to have another human being tell you what the Bible says, I don't want you to take my word for it. That's deadly, because as a human being, I do make errors. I don't try, but I do make errors. If I make an error, I'm going to set it straight. There's not going to be any pride in me to tell you, hey, I made a mistake and I'm sorry. Here's what the Bible actually says. But for those people who choose to sit under a lie, there's a penalty for it. And you're going to lose, you know, your soul for all eternity.
Mary Paul.
You're going to be damned.
Paul flat out taught in his epistles and was preaching to Christians and told Christians that if you continue in these sins, you will not inherit the kingdom of God.
That's right.
He wasn't preaching to the lost.
Yeah.
He's preaching to the Christians.
That's right. So once saved, always saved, question mark, you know. You're not going to know these things if you don't pick up that Bible and if you don't get serious. And the Bible says in John chapter 9, verse 31, God hears not sinners. So if you're living in sin and you're praying, your prayer didn't even get above your head. And that happens to a lot of people who are sitting in a pew somewhere, and they're sitting there and they pray. I've heard some people say some pretty prayers, and you know what kind of life they're living outside of that church. So, again, you better get serious. Time is short. We're fixing to go into some really hard times. And if we don't have God to hang on to, we have nothing. So for those people who are still doubting, you know, who are questioning what we're saying here today, then I challenge you, please pick up the Bible and see what it says. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11 says, "Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them." So as a believer, when I hear a preacher or anyone else say, or if you hear me say anything, you have the biblical proof right here to come to me and say, "Mary, you just told me something that is wrong, and I want to tell you that you need to set it straight," and I will. I'm one of those people that actually will do that.